You're listening to Siouxland Public Media. I'm Sheila Brummer with today's Food for Thought. We're here at the Dorothy Pico Nature Center, and we have Education Director, Program Director Don Snyder joining us today. And this is the time of year that is fabulous out here at Stone State Park.
It is. We are lush into summer and all things berries. I love berries.
Berries. And berries are food. That's why you're out here. A lot of people may not think that there is food hidden out there.
That's right. Foraging is becoming quite popular with the certain segment of the population. We definitely are able to, here at Stone State Park and some of our local park areas, to forage and collect wild edibles. In state parks such as Stone Park, it is legal to collect berries and nuts and mushrooms. Otherwise, we ask that you leave the flowers, the tubers, the other parts of the plants where they are, because it's technically a state park, and that's against the law. So we will, of course, have many opportunities to learn about different plants throughout the Midwest, and there's a lot of plants that are pretty common that are in your backyard. You consider weeds that are quite edible, whether
really?
Or not you want to eat the dandelions instead of spray the dandelions. If you eat them and not spray them, or if you manage them so that you have our pollinators to enjoy them, then you've got also an edible food source. Because our friend, well, not my close personal friend because I didn't know him, but Yule Gibbons wrote about the dandelion as the official heal-all of everything, and that was his main stay in one of his books that he authored. But all parts of the dandelion are usable. You just need to know how to prepare them.
So, really? And yes. Wow, is that pretty tricky to do?
Well, that's kind of, I guess, my rule of thumb when I'm talking about wild edible plants and foraging is the five knows, and knows as in K-N-O-W-S, the knowledge of that. You need to know the plant, know how to identify it and where to find it and when it's going to be available. Know the part of the plant, because not all parts of plants are edible. And rule of thumb, if you think about, I love rhubarb, and rhubarb is also something that's on right now. You don't eat the leaf of the rhubarb, right? But you eat the stalk. So the leaf is toxic. So know the part of the plant. Know the plant, know the part, know how to prepare it. So some plants you have to cook them or blanch them. Some plants you can just eat edible raw. So those are other factors that you have to have. The fourth know or knowledge is to know if that plant has been sprayed.
And that would be the tough one, I would think.
That's becoming more and more prevalent, obviously, and there's a lot of pesticides out there. So think about where you might be harvesting. Also, always ask permission if it's not your own area for harvesting, if you're going to be collecting anything. It's a little trickier when there's the wild spray, as far as like a skunk spraying it. You can kind of, you know, use your olfactory clues there, as far as if you smell something weird. Or if a plant doesn't look very, very healthy, you're not going to want to harvest it. And then the fifth know or knowledge is know someone that's tried it, that's enjoyed it, and is still alive to tell about it. How's that?
Oh, no. Or just have them prepare it for you, so
that's
you don't
right,
have to do the hard
right.
work.
Well, but that's a little bit in jest. But definitely, it's not something to fool around with, because obviously there are some plants that are highly toxic, and you want to be sure you know 110% positive.
Would you know some of the toxic ones that could be very harmful?
Well, we certainly have a lot of plants in the nightshade family, mm-hmm. like, you know, even and a tomatoes plant is in the nightshade family, but the black nightshade, there's, oh boy.
And that's the big one. And they have pods, right?
Yeah, there's some pods
on the plant.
With those. There's different berries on the different plants. It just depends. There's many. And of course, there's a lot of different mushrooms that I don't even go into the mushroom topic, because there's so many that are hard to identify and are very high in toxicity. Some of them might just be not very
tasty.
They might not be very palatable, and you might have some indigestion issues, but others might actually send you to the hospital or worse. So always know before you harvest if you're not sure.
How is the morel season out here? And do you have a lot of people out here
we
looking
do.
For them?
We do. It's interesting how the traffic flow picks up, and we do have our parking lot lower level parking lot, we ask people to stay down in the lower lot after 4:30 so we can lock the gate. But there's a lot more cars at a certain time of year down there, not just hikers, but some parked along the highway. I've heard that there was a really good gathering of morels this year. I didn't go and collect too many of my own, but I did get a lot of postings on Facebook, and I was quite envious.
They are amazing. I remember going mushroom hunting with my grandmother, and she had some kind of system where she could figure out the spots to go. There's something, was it about tree, like elm trees?
The dead elm trees.
Yeah, is that true?
Well, it is to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing as many of our elm trees any longer, or the dead elm trees like back in our day, when I was growing up, those big old trees that were already dead, now they've fallen and they're not really around. But mushrooms, just the biology and life cycle of a mushroom is that they have the spore, and then they've got the cap, and then you've got the fruiting body above ground. And so you might have heard of a fairy ring before. A fairy ring is a true thing. It's not. It's known as far as the mushrooms. Oftentimes, their mycelium, or their roots, if you will, underground, will connect and interconnect in a circle. And that's kind of known, I guess, as a fairy ring. So a lot of times, because of the roots of the tree and the morel mushroom, for whatever reason, they tend to be in a kind of a symbiotic relationship in close proximity to the dead elms. So that's a good indicator to look around dead elm trees if you can, if you still find them, to look for morels. But they're not the only place they can be found, because their spores could you know, pass in the wind and light anywhere and perhaps, you know, grow.
That's true. Fortunately, you have to wait until next year
to enjoy morels. The morel season has passed, but the berry season's just starting to kick into gear. The wild strawberries are out, or of course, if you have your own strawberry beds, you've probably been busy picking them and getting their deliciousness, or getting to the farmer's market and getting some of those berries. Our black wild raspberries, we have a plentiful amount out here along our trails, and we've opened up some great prairie areas. And whenever there's sunlight, you're going to have more things grow, and our berry bushes or berry canes are certainly prevalent out here, so you can certainly come out and have a nice little foraging walk to collect berries. We also have the choke cherry out here, and choke cherries, as their name implies, they do have a high malic acid content, which is really the pucker factor and kind of dries your mouth out, so... But if you collect them and want to make some jam or some jelly and add sugar and maybe some other berries if you want, it's a delicious supplement as well. And of course, the birds and the wildlife love them too, so they're very important for our wildlife out here. We also have gooseberry bushes, and the gooseberries, when they're bright green, are pretty sour, like a sour head, like a warhead. Wah! But then they'll turn a purple color if you can get them before all the birds and wildlife do, and collect enough, you could do a gooseberry pie or gooseberry jam. The wild plums have bloomed, and I saw some wild plums starting to emerge in their green form, but they will be getting ripe and maturing as the summer goes on, and you can collect them this August and September and have those for a jam or jelly or other tasty amount. So those are just a few of our wild berries and wild fruits that we have within our parks and our wildlands in this area.
And you have such an amazing trail system out here, places for people to hike, to walk, and enjoy nature.
Yes, our trails. Here at the Nature Center, we have about 2 to 3 miles of trails that connect with the Nature Center itself and are marked. And because we're in Stone State Park, we're a county facility, but we're managed by Woodbury County, but we're in Stone State Park boundaries. We connect with over 10, 12 miles of Stone State Park trails. So it's kind of fun to be able to have that opportunity to continue to walk and hike with the knowledge, however, if you park here at the center, you want to make sure probably you can get back here to the center to get to your vehicle before when you want to leave. So the other fun thing is to get out on those deer trails. But if you take a deer trail, I can't guarantee you'll make your way right back to the building. So that's another thing to consider.
You could be hiking for quite a while.
It could be a fun adventure, however. Now, when you're out and about gathering or looking for wild edibles or foraging, another one to consider is I mentioned some things in your own yard, but we do also have a couple of plants that you might not consider real tasty or edible, because if you touch them and brush against them, they're painful. And that would be the stinging nettle and the wood nettle.
You can eat nettles?
You can eat nettles. You can.
Really?
Actually, nettles are very high in vitamin A and vitamin C. And they do have, I think they kind of have like a cucumber peppery taste to them. Now, that is one plant you want to know how to prepare.
Yes, because I was going to say, that might hurt a little bit.
And you also want to probably either know how to harvest them or wear gloves when you're harvesting them. But typically, I like to collect the tops of the nettle. They call the nettle tops the top of the plant. So you're not collecting or cutting or
the
pulling
prickly stem.
The whole plant up, so the plant's going to continue to grow. But I have some great recipes for wild nettle and leek soup. I've had fresh nettle fettuccine that I've made, or I've just added some of the nettles into a salad. You can eat it raw if they're really small, tender leaves. What the part of the plant that is the problem is they have little, like, hypodermic needles
on the
plant.
Yeah, they have little
barbs. Yes. And if you brush against those, they might break open, and then a little bit of acid, formic acid, which is the same type of acid found in bee stings, so it hurts, yes. And that becomes uncomfortable, obviously, if you touch that. But if you blanch them or boil them in water, that takes that out, and you still have a very nice, tasty plant to try and sample.
Had no idea. There used to be a pain back in the bean walking days.
Oh, yes.
Running
yes.
into a nettle patch.
Bean walker from
yes.
kindred spirit of bean walking. Yes. I don't think they even do that so much anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
And so you were talking more about the backyard things that you could find,
right,
the dandelions.
Right. Dandelions. And when you're pulling the weeds out of your garden bed, you may come across something called lamb's quarters. Have you heard of lamb's quarters?
I've heard of it.
It's a pretty common weed. Actually, we can take steps back more than decades and go into the prehistoric times and talking about the pollen. And Chenopodium is actually the scientific name. There's the pollen that grains that were found on some of our Native American stone tools. They've mm-hmm. done different samples of the archaeologists have of this area to see this area was once not only prairie, but more like the Black Hills, a mixed prairie with some pine forest.
Really? In this area?
Yes. That would have been, like, we're talking in the Paleo-Indian times, probably over, like, we're talking mastodons and mammoths and big game hunters probably 10,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So there is a Clovis Point, which is it's an archaeological point, and we have a replica of it here on display at the Nature Center, and it was found somewhere in Stone Park, and it's one of the oldest Paleolithic or stone tools that was found in this region, and that they did some carbon dating on it and also some residue dating on it at the lab in Colorado, and they found pine pollen, mixed grass, prairie warm season prairie grasses, and also other pollens, and that's a lot of a way of how they could trace what was found in this area is for looking at some of the residue. They also found some blood residue on there that was from the Cervidae family, so either an elk or a deer actually was successfully hit its target, I guess, if you would say. So
Wow. That's
kind of interesting. It's kind of taken us a little bit of stretch away from our edible plant topic, but I guess I digressed a bit. But you can talk about the importance of, you know, everything as far as the landscape goes. So back to our lamb's quarters, I guess. So lamb's quarters is an important food source of not only the prehistoric people here, but you can also eat it. And instead of picking it or pulling it out of your garden and just, you know, composting it, you can collect it and use the leaves as a salad, or you can I love to fry it with, of course, bacon.
See, that?
Fry it with bacon and a little bit of vinegar and sugar. Ooh, yummy.
Wow. So yes, that's interesting. Things that you just would normally discard, you can enjoy it, and it's quite tasty. Well, like you said, if you put the bacon with it.
Oh, no, it's tasty without the
without
bacon
too,
but that's a great flavor enhancer in my opinion.
You know, what's funny is, I, Yeah, I probably I'm not really a fan of bacon.
You're
I grew
not.
Up No, my father raised we had hogs on our farm and I don't know. I kind of liked my pigs.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
sorry.
I like my pigs too.
No, I know.
In all ways.
No, I know. No.
Yeah,
no, I'm not trying to put
know,
you down.
I know,
there,
no.
You know.
Well, it's a funny story too, and you talked about dandelions. I, many years ago, actually recently just celebrated my 31st anniversary with Woodbury County Conservation Board.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
I started when I was 12.
No, you were younger than that even.
So it's been a great ride working here. The Nature Center is only going to be turning 24, but I was the first naturalist hired in Woodbury County for the Conservation Department. And when I came for my interview as a intrepid little... Iowa State soon-to-be grad, I came and the topic I had to present to the it was an interview committee of about, I swear, 10 people.
Wow.
And it was a hot, crowded room, and I was adamant about wearing, you know, my heels and my business suit, and it didn't look anything like, you know, I do now as far as roaming in the woods with my hiking boots and whatnot, but I had to talk about edible plants. So I was determined to feed them dandelion fritters.
That's and a really good idea, though.
And I did. I collected dandelions, and I prayed that everything was going to work out, and I brought my little hot plate, and we talked about dandelions and how important they were, and I fried them up, and I fed them, and they all survived, and they hired me.
That was very smart, though. You know, food.
So we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, food usually, you know, helps put you to the top
nice
of the list.
Hook. And actually, fritters, you collect the dandelion flower, and you pull the sepals that are dangling downward off. You take the stem off, but you've got to leave the little green calyx part on it so the flower stays together. You mix up an egg batter. And you dip it in the egg batter, and then you have cracker crumbs. I just use saltine crackers. You can do all sorts of things. A little bit of seasoning. Dip it in that, and then, of course, fried in butter, and what's not good fried in butter. So that's our dandelion fritters.
That sounds great.
Yes, but other parts of the dandelion, the root you can harvest, and you can dry it and grind it and use it for dandelion coffee. Now, I prefer other forms of coffee, but there is, you know, dandelions. There's also chicory. Have you ever heard of chicory before?
Yes.
Chicory is a related plant, and chicory tea or coffee is another one if you're looking for a coffee substitute. The leaves of the dandelion, of course, are also edible. As the plant gets older and matured, you know, if you ever pulled a dandelion, you can see there's kind of a milky sap to it, right? Well, that is the latex that is not very... palatable, and it's kind of, you know, it's not,
it isn't tasty.
No, it's not tasty at all. It gets, and the older the plant gets, the more bitter it gets. So you want to harvest the young leaves, and if you want to eat them raw, you want to make sure they're really tiny and young. Otherwise, you'll want to blanch them and get that latex out of the leaves and kind of have dandelion grains, and that's probably my least favorite way to eat them, but I've done dandelion fritters with kids and done programs with them in the past. It's been a few years since we've had an edible wild program out here, but that's
I think
always
you did
a fun
do another
topic.
One.
Perhaps.
Or we kind of did one right now.
We did without the real deal to eat, but I didn't have that prepped. Now, you shared with me an image that a friend showed you of a type of mushroom.
Yes, on Facebook today, I had a friend that posted a mushroom. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be at the Nature Center today. We did a live broadcast here earlier in the day. And so I'm like, oh, hey, Don, what is this mushroom? And you said it's something that
That's
you
right.
could eat.
This is...
we'll have to kind of explain
it's
what it looks
of
like.
It's a shelf mushroom. So mushrooms grow in different forms. And this would be like an elephant ear or a shelf fungus in that category, and this is called sulfur shelf. It's a bright orangey yellow color, and sulfur is kind of a yellow orange color, and it's also known as chicken of the woods. And the chicken of the woods part comes in that when it's harvested and when it's cooked, it tastes a little like chicken. It's a very meaty fungus and mushroom. So if you're going to harvest that, that's one of the few that I will harvest because it's pretty much. It's indescribable. It's hard to...
It almost
hard
looks
to,
like a cauliflower head that's bloomed.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah, and it's brilliant bright orange. It's not
this
as bright as some of them,
yeah,
but
this one
I've
isn't
seen
very
some
bright.
That are really bright colored and just like iridescent yellow gold orange color. So, in fact, my coworker Tyler had seen one on the trail. This is probably his first year that he worked here about 3 years ago. And he came back with a photo on his phone and said, "Hey, Dawn, what's this?" And I said, "Oh, where did you find that?"
He goes, "Well, ran out to get it.
He's just up here on the trail. I was cutting some wood, blah, blah, blah." I said, you know what that is? No. And he's not really that adventuresome when it comes to food as far as trying things. But he did go harvest some and brought it in, and we soaked it and we prepared it, and he thought it was the bomb. We all did. It was a very nice, tasty treat. So that was fun to be able to come across that and sample it.
And how do you cook it? With butter? Probably.
Of course. Yeah. With butter. There you go.
Butter makes everything better.
There's many ways. You could dry them and then have them for seasoning and shave it off and season your soups or your stews. You could slice them thin and dehydrate them and have them, or you could just slice them thinly and saute them, add them to your different stews or meats or whatever. But we just pretty much fried them in butter, and we're delighted with that result.
There's a great outdoors of edibles out there to choose from.
That's right.
All right, Dawn Snyder with the Dorothy Pico Nature Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm building a tree house in my backyard. I'm building a tree house in my backyard. Still in love.